The second lesson of the ark is that we have to step into the ark. This ties in perfectly with what we looked at last week, the principle of believing into Jesus. The ark demonstrates the same principle. The ark itself is a type and shadow of Christ. Just as Noah entered into the ark, we enter into Christ. Whoever was in the ark was saved from the judgment and carried through to dry land. Whoever is in Christ is saved from the judgment and will be carried through to the new earth one day. Right at this time, just as Noah built the body of the ark, so too we are building the body of Christ. Noah's righteousness did not save him from the flood. He had to enter into the ark. In the same way, our righteousness will not save us. We have to believe into Christ. Just as the ark was sealed by atonement, the body of Christ is also sealed by the atoning blood of Christ. There is no atonement outside of the ark. They were only covered when they were inside it. In the same way, the blood of Jesus covers you only if you are in Him. Lesson 3 of the ark. The Lord shuts you in. Genesis 7 verse 16. So those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Another lesson we learn from the ark is that God is the one who shuts you in. You cannot shut yourself into the Lord. It is God who shuts you in. It is God who secures you inside of His Son. It is also God who determines where the cutoff point is. That is, when there is no more chance of repentance. No one but God can say when it will all be over. Only God knows when that moment is. In Mark 13, Jesus speaks of the end of this creation and says, I'm reading from verse 31 to 32. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. In Acts 1 verse 7, the disciples asked Jesus when the end of the world would come. His answer was, "It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in His own authority." The fourth lesson of the ark is the door. In the Threshold Covenant, Henry Clay Trumbull tells us, "Often the door or gate stood for the temple, and frequently the threshold was an altar, or an altar was at the threshold. When the first dweller on the plains of Chaldea, after the flood, gathered themselves for the building of a common structure reaching Godward, they, in their phraseology, called that structure Babel, which means the door of God. Ancient Egyptians called their sovereign head of their national family Pharaoh, which means the exalted house or gate or door. Muhammad is called the exalted door by the Muslims. In fact, all of the different cults and religions claim that theirs is the way to God and that their spiritual head is the door. Where do they get that from? I would suggest that it may well have been the ark, because the only way to enter into the ark was through the door. Jesus told two parables of the end of the world, which make use of this picture of the door being closed or shut. Luke 13 from verse 23 to 30 says, "Then one said to him, 'Lord, are there few who are saved?' And he said to them, "Strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open for us,' and he will answer and say to you, 'I do not know you, where you are from,' then you will begin to say, 'We ate and drank in your presence, and you taught me in our streets.' But he will say, 'I tell you, I do not know you, where you are from. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity.' There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrown out. They will come from the east and the west, from the north and the south, and sit down in the kingdom of God. And indeed, there are last who will be first, and there are first who will be last." Matthew 25, verse 1 to 13 says, "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, 'Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming.'" Jesus clarifies this even further by making the statement that he is the door. John 10, verse 1 to 11. "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Verse 7. "Then Jesus said to them, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture.'" See, they went into the ark, and after the flood they came out, and they found pasture. "The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." In Exodus 33, verse 7 to 11, we read about Moses worshipping God in the tabernacle of meeting. And whenever he went in there to meet with God, and God's presence came to that tabernacle, God's presence, the pillar of cloud, stood at the door of the tabernacle. And God talked with Moses at the door of the tabernacle. and all the people of Israel would stand at their own tents in the tent door and worship God, while the presence of God was in the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And so Jesus is the door. And it is God who determines when the door will be closed. Another thing about the door is we will see it when we look at the Passover. And that is, the door is a place where we cut covenant and become one with our covenant partner. Hallelujah. And that brings us to the end of today's lesson. Have a blessed day in Him. Until next time, God bless you, and bye for now.